I have been, that's better, thank you. I have been learning recently about Christian nationalism. This is when Christianity gets inflated with a form of patriotism which says that America should be a Christian country. Now, on the face of it, we might agree. It would be great if everyone were a follower of Jesus. After all, didn't Jesus himself tell us to go and baptize all nations, make disciples of all nations? But the reality is that there are many Americans who follow a different spiritual and religious path, and we would really be restricting the work of God if we said that anyone who was not Christian could not know God. Those who follow the Christian nationalism ideology believe that we need to reclaim America as a Christian country, and their ideas quickly lead them to thinking that all Christians think like them, and indeed all Christians look like them. And then it's a short half step to ideas about white supremacy and taking up arms to reclaim the country. And before you know it, things like January the 6th happen. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up this morning is that our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, has said that one of the ways that we can work against this ideology is to focus on the life and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. This morning's gospel is one of the most beloved and most perplexing of those teachings. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes, takes us right back, right down to the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He was not a revolutionary military leader who tried to free Palestine from the Romans. He wasn't even a Christian himself, because Christianity didn't exist. And we can see him through many different lenses, including that of nonviolent resistance. Jesus' nonviolent resistance to those who plotted against him and who finally had him executed has been an inspiration for movements of nonviolent resistance, which have enabled people oppressed by ideologies that privilege one usually white-skinned group over another. People who've been oppressed by ideologies like Christian nationalism to find within themselves a place of such love and discipline. And this has enabled the Indian people to overcome the oppressive occupation of the British. It's enabled the civil rights movement in this country and the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. Our first lesson from Micah, in that interesting dialogue between God and humanity, ended with the encapsulation of what it means to be a person of God. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And that is what we see in Jesus of Nazareth, not a striving for power, not a jockeying for position, but humbly walking with our God, which means loving everyone, because that's what Jesus did, loving everyone regardless of their skin color, regardless of their gender expression or sexual preference, regardless of their preferred ideology. Bishop Curry also encourages us to find people who are different from us and to work to develop friendships with them. This can be very difficult. We tend to find very good reasons not to work on creating friendships with those to whom we are not naturally drawn. Even within the church congregation, I bet there are some people that you don't find as attractive as others, or who you've just never really kind of got round to getting to know. Being peacemakers means having the courage to cross even the small bridges that divide us. I find that I really don't have the words to express the depth and the challenge that Jesus gives us in those few verses that made up the gospel this morning. And I hope that during Lent, some of you will join me in exploring them more deeply by reading together a book by Richard Rohr, Jesus' Alternative Plan. What we will learn then is that this is not just about behavior, but about a whole transformation of consciousness as we become more and more Christ-like. So today I just want to let Jesus' words speak for themselves, and I'd like us to reread the gospel together and to say it responsively. So if those on my left would say the blessed part of the sentences, and those on my right would pick up at four. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and so on. So let's start. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice